Listen.
Radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Good morning, Vancouver. This is Wise Men Radio on CITR 101.9. I'm your host, Austin, broadcasting to you live from the unceded Musqueam territory on the UBC campus. Today we have one of our long-term special guests, Gary Fisher, a.k.a. Will Kaufman.
Yes, yes, I'm back, CITR. And boy, do we have a show for you guys.
Oh, yes, we do. Oh, boy. Would you like to tell them kind of what our thoughts were here?
Yeah, yeah. So, as you guys know, I'm a fish enthusiast by my name and by our show last year about the Nooksack Days. And this session, we're going to bring you a little overview of salmonids, the family of salmon species, and we're gonna kind of tell you a little bit about their overview life cycle and kind of threats in BC and our personal experiences with dealing with salmon, and it's gonna be interesting, fun,
exciting, even maybe.
It may be exciting.
It could be exciting.
I think we're gonna spark something in your heads today.
Yes.
Something's gonna go off that you're gonna be like, wow, we really gotta do something about this, you know?
I think so, yeah. Okay, but that's gonna be a little bit later in the show. We're gonna play some music to start off your morning. It's 9:05 October 21st. Yeah, 2016. Wow.
It's
flying by, October is. But yeah, so what we're playing for you today is a song by Noah Dirksen. Noah Dirksen is a artist out of Vancouver, originally born in Winnipeg. The song is called A Good Winter, off his newest album, I believe just released this month, In Search of the Way. So hopefully everyone finds the way this morning, and this winter looks like, from the tops of Whistler, shaping up to be a good winter. So song hopefully will fit well.
Ready to shred the pow.
Yeah. Woo, get on that Whistler webcam. It's glorious up there. But anyways, see you in a few.
Thank you. mind does decay, I'll be your crutch, I'll be your wisdom, I'll be your shelter from pain. I will care for you, I will care for you, I will care, I will care for you.
Keys, hopped in the car, should be there by sunrise. My first stop will be the beach. Check out the ladies. That seems like heaven to my eyes. And I'll find a campfire every night. Serenade the stars. Don't think heaven's in the sky. And if I give it a little bit, I'll be all over this. Maybe Paris will stop by. She can dance all night. She's so beautiful.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm your host, Austin.
And I'm Will. Today, it's Wise Men.
Wise Men.
Two of us.
Yeah, there's two. Normally, there's one. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the songs we played last break were, the last one was a song by Gord Gold. The song was called Paris Hilton out of the album Gord Gold in the Garage. I was reading, what Gord Gold is, and he's just this hitchhiker that this dude picked up outside of Merritt, and they were like talking, and they ended up just going to this guy's basement and recording Gold Gord play. So that's what these are, is just Gold Gord after being picked up hitchhike.
Gold Gorb?
Gord Gold.
Gord Gold.
Gord Gold.
Say that 10 times
fast. Yeah, Gord Gold, Gord Gold. Yeah. Yeah. And then the song we played before that was Slow Dive Slovakia, Altogether, one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite albums. Check her out if you don't already know her. But yeah, so today's theme, we're talking a little bit about salmon and salmonids and basically salmon in BC. It's kind of the overview of the show, with special focus on harvesting and stuff, but
conservation.
Yeah, conservation. We're gonna give you a brief overview of all the different types of salmon we have in BC. So would you like to you want to start us off on the?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the intro, Austin.
Yeah.
So we have five different salmon species, all under the Oncorhynchus genus. Mm-hmm. And so we have sockeye, we have chum, pink, coho, and some would consider steelhead a salmon. Or a trout. It's kind of a hybrid between both, and we'll get back to that on why later. So as you guys know, in our backyard at the Fraser River is one of the major corridors in BC for salmon spawning. And I guess let's start off with the salmon life cycle.
Yes.
If you guys don't know. So I'll start with the juvenile stages.
Okay.
You can take them when they get in the ocean.
All right.
Yeah. So salmon start as little eggs in the freshwater river systems, and they become alvin, and they eat like their yolk on their sac that comes with their eggs, and they kind of just, you know, stay in the freshwater in the pools and avoid getting swept out by the swift currents, and soon they become juvenile, and they kind of make their way downstream slowly, avoiding bigger predators. And then they get to the kind of tidal water area when they're kind of ready to go back in the ocean.
Yeah.
And take it from there.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because they'll juvenile salmon will start to they spent their whole lives in fresh water, and they start to they have to be able to now adapt to going into salt water, which the ocean is. So they kind of they develop these mechanisms for filtering, you know, salt water through their gills, and which is pretty cool. It's pretty miraculous that you can go from such a stark difference between salt water and fresh water. But yeah, anyway, so they'll go into the ocean, and as a an adult, and they'll spend 2 to 3 years out there.
Depending on the species.
Yeah, depending on the species, they'll spend quite a while out there, just eating, getting big, and
And they have huge migration patterns when it comes to the ocean. Like, you can look at maps of them, of populations going all the way up the Alaska coast and almost like coming down all the way like mid ocean,
yeah,
in the Pacific.
See some of them going into Russia,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Yeah, so very large range these guys acquire in the ocean. And then once they are mature enough and...
Hey, quick question.
Yes.
So what are some natural predators they face in the open ocean?
Oh, yes, many. many, like seals. Also, like...
Killer whales.
Predatory birds.
Yeah.
Sharks. Yeah.
Sharks. And not to mention fishermen.
Yeah, not to mention fishermen. Yeah. But yeah, like all of these are kind of, and so only the most fit survive all the way back to their traditional breeding grounds, which is the same river that they were born into. So every time that they're ready to mate, all salmon only mate once. And then they die off in the river. But when they're ready to mate, they will kind of sense the way back to where they were born using a number of different things, a lot of visual, smell, and they can actually sense the currents using a lateral line, which is just line on their body. That bisects the fish in half, but they sense their way back, and they'll breed and spawn into the same waters that they were born in, and the life cycle kind of restarts itself.
And so, as you guys may notice, the salmon change colors when they get back into the freshwater system. No one quite knows why, but it's most likely for breeding reasons, as the more fit males will have greater colors to attract females.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of survival of the fittest. If you have great colors and can make it back to the river,
yeah,
you will most likely reproduce, assuming that you can make it to your spawning ground without a bear snagging you up or... you know, a fisherman coming and swinging a fly in front of your face.
Exactly. Well, and you can kind of imagine how important these salmon runs are every year to the local like river ecosystem, and also the terrestrial like land ecosystem. These nutrients that the salmon are acquiring while they're out in the ocean is now being brought into this new environment of the river and eventually the land where maybe where a bear might pick up the salmon and transport it into the forest. There's lots of cool studies going on with bears picking up salmon and dropping them in the forest and then eating them, about like the nitrogen that they sequester that they put into the soil. Lots of cool stuff. Like,
yes.
So it's not just the bears that actually depend on the salmon runs every year.
The trees,
also the
too.
Trees, yeah. These non-carnivorous trees also very much depend on the salmon runs every year. And along with many different wildlife species like eagles, marten, just like pretty much anything on the coast is
thrives
tied.
Off these nutrients that come back.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so that's a little bit about the salmon life cycle. All of the kind of oceanic salmon do this.
Right. And so, as I mentioned before, steelhead are kind of a hybrid between salmon and trout because, as you guys know, salmon only spawn once and then they've depleted all their energy and they can't survive anymore and they just kind of die off in the river systems. And however, steelhead, they have technically the same life cycle as a salmon, as far as they'll start in the freshwater and they'll make it out to the ocean. They won't go as far out into the ocean, open water, as salmon do, but they can come back and spawn multiple times and come back to the ocean multiple times. And it's quite magnificent. And these fish tend to get very, very big and tend to be very, very strong.
Yeah. Fisherman's dream, huh?
Yes. You want one of those guys at the end of your line.
Yes. but anyways, so that was a little bit about kind of the biology of salmon. A little bit, a brief overview. There's so much more to learn about
them.
Yes,
lots more.
And I'm sure this won't be the last time that we talk about salmon biology on this show. So,
yeah. Not with me around.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we're going to play some more songs, and then we'll kind of come back to important issues that are happening right now with salmon and salmon farms and kind of the rights
and First Nations.
First Nations stuff.
Yeah. First Nations stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to play a song by Lieutenant Frank Dickens, a Vancouver artist. Just released a new album this October called Sunburn. And the song is called A Diamond in a Hurricane. Ciao, ciao for now.
Shattered glass. give you all the real lowdown. He didn't even own a pony. He was really very short and fat. While in the story, so skinny and bony, and so hungry that he ate his hat and called the feather macaroni. Underneath the chestnut tree, he and the blacksmith would sip their tea. Then he'd bring out his xylophone all low down. That's how he went to town. Yankee Doodle tried to leave one day, took his belongings and mounted his saddle. But he never started on his way, since he didn't have a pony and the fairy tale is phony. How could Yankee Doodle go to town?
Hosting our 33rd annual Shindig. It's a battle of the bands at Pat's Pub every Tuesday night. Our host Andy has curated 27 delicious local bands to compete for the title. Who will take the crown from last year's winners late spring? Come to find out. Fun fact, at this year's Shindig, there'll be fun facts for beers.
Thanks to this year's sponsors, AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder, Vader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Sixcent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Bernie Brewing, and Print Print.
Come out to Shindig this Tuesday, October 25th, to see Mark Mills, S. Lord Efferman, and Freak Dream.
Good night, Shindig is everywhere. Remember, no matter what anyone says, rock on!
Hey there.
Barev.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back, Will.
Welcome back, Austin.
Thanks.
This is my radio show.
Yeah. Would you like to do the honors?
Okay. So kind of we gave you a brief about the salmon life cycle. And now we're kind of going to go into some more threats they face beyond the natural ecosystem, such as kind of humans threats.
Human, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. So, as you know, humans have have a pretty astounding impact on pretty much all environments and ecosystems.
Yes,
globally.
Yes,
and
for good or for bad.
Yeah, yeah, yes. That's that is true. And one of the ecosystems that we're going to be talking about is the aquatic coastal
ecosystem. Yeah. And so there's a few things that have come up. One thing we'll talk about is the salmon farms.
Yes. So salmon farming is kind of this new idea in the past couple decades where they just farm salmon. They put a bunch of salmon in this little pin in the ocean and feed them
little sort of pellets of packed nutrients to get them fat and pretty much full maturity as soon as possible.
It's kind of
so
like...
they can bring them out to the market and sell them for resale. So these salmon don't go through their natural life cycle like we were saying. And
they don't breed or they don't swim around a bunch.
They're in a contained pen in the open ocean with nets all around. And so there's big controversy with these nets that in the open ocean that it's, even though they're contained, this is still affecting the outside aquatic ecosystem, such as, for example, there's this one huge activist called Alexandra Morton, I believe, and she's had videos of getting onto these salmon farms and taking photos and films of these fish, and I highly recommend going and looking her up and looking at some of her videos and photos, and you will see that these fish are not healthy. And many of them have diseases and tumors all throughout them. And she concludes that this disease is very, very virulent and can really affect wild populations. And she has found that it already has, as this disease can go through the nets and into wild populations.
Yeah. And that's not the only thing that can get through the nets. Actually, there have been a number of there's been a number of escaped salmon from these nets.
Mm-hmm.
And the salmon that are in these nets, we talked about the five species native to our coast here in BC. The salmon that are farmed in these salmon farms are none of those. They're actually called Atlantic salmon, obviously named after the Atlantic Ocean where they are native to. And so they have the salmon farms all hold Atlantic salmon. And Atlantic salmon have escaped these nets, and they've been kind of interfering with native populations of wild salmon in BC. For example, there's actually a river on the island that I think it used to run either sockeye or pink or something like that.
Probably coho and pink. Yeah.
Yeah. But now it only runs Atlantic salmon, which is kind of crazy. Atlantic salmon have escaped and created this run. Like, that's crazy.
So actually now if you catch an Atlantic salmon, you're supposed to chop off its head and bring it to a fisheries officer and report it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's in the fishing guidelines book.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Do you get like a bounty for it?
No, I wish. Go Atlantic salmon hunting, huh?
Yeah. But, it does lots of interfering with native populations, which is bad. It's also very kind of similar to, it's a similar situation with what you see with like these big like chicken producing companies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That they just keep these chickens in these like really tiny containers and just they can't move, and chickens are pretty roaming animals naturally, but with the mass production of chicken, but comes good spread of disease, good spread of bad vibes, man.
Bad vibes.
Yeah
You know, recently, so I probably can't pronounce this First Nation, but it's the Muskamog Wandanooks First Nation on, I believe, the mid-coast of the BC. The BC. BC. Recently went on a salmon farm, which they're technically not supposed to, but they have a valid argument that it is on their traditional territory, and they came on their waters with no consultation or accommodation. And so there is a recent video about these First Nation tribal leaders coming on to the salmon farm and giving them an eviction notice as they have failed to acknowledge their way of life with accommodation and consultation, and that the federal government was promised to acknowledge UNDRIP, the United Nations Indigenous Declaration of Indigenous People.
Indigenous Rights.
Indigenous Rights, yeah. And so, yeah, anyways, there's lots of controversy about these salmon farms and First Nations all throughout the coast, as they are getting impacted a lot with depleting salmon runs coming back, as it's a sustenance food source for them. So that's a very ongoing progressive issue, which will be interesting how this unfolds and develops.
Yeah, it's a really powerful video if you have the chance to watch it. It's always cool to see the First Nations take back what is theirs, or at least attempting to.
Yeah, it's a powerful video. You can just search eviction notice of fish farms in BC, and I'm sure it'll come up on the interwebs.
Yeah. But anyways, you got anything more to say?
Also another
hi,
good
mom.
Hi mom and dad. And another good documentary to watch is called Salmon Confidential. It's about Alexandria Morton, who kind of her studies and finds about these fish farms on BC, and kind of how farm-raised salmon is almost not even safe to consume as a human. So if you are a frequent salmon fish eater, be conscious of what you're eating.
Eat ocean-wise.
Ocean-wise, wild salmon is much better.
Yeah, catch it yourself.
Yeah, you know, even, do what I do.
Even best.
Except not yet.
Yeah, haven't caught one this season, eh?
Not this season.
Yeah, well, maybe tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make it on the rivers.
Yeah, all right. Well, so we're going to play some more tunes here. It's going to be a good old number by the band Warpaint, a four-piece girl band. The song is called Stall, The Stall. Hope you enjoy it, because I should do. All right.
I sure do, too.
Oh, yeah, you do, too. Okay, goodbye.
Like a good one, send your love. This month's issue of Discorder is purple. And you know, purple is the new green with envy.
Violet, you're turning violet!
The October issue features interviews with Puzzlehead, Swim Team, Kaiplant, and Coxy Sun on their new and upcoming release. We address the uncertainty of the Trans-Pacific Partnership for Artists and sit down with the organizers of Japanese poets north of the 49th to discuss reconciliation through poetry.
Thanks to this month's sponsors, Vinyl Records, Recruiting Canada, the Rickshaw Theatre, Fringe Festival, Zipcar, Jazz Records, the Astoria, the UBC AMS, Don't Argue, Redgate, Print Print, SFU Community Engagement, Live Van, the Vancouver Art Book Fair, the Rio Theatre, the Vancouver International Film Festival, Vancouver New Music, and Timber Concerts. Pick up a free physical copy of Discorder around town or read online at discorder.ca. You like, we gonna ride around the city, I'm gonna make your night.
Yeah, eat your cake, bake you off a... All right, so the last song that we played there was a song by Hi Sun. Hi Sun's out of the Bay Area, and the song was called Blossoms off his new album Bliss. Pretty cool. It's a one-man band. Yeah, so that's all we got for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in next Friday morning.
I hope everyone learned a thing or two and we sparked that bulb we said we would.
Yeah, we said that we would do that, huh?
Yeah, hopefully we did it.
Yeah, okay. That's good. But yeah, stay tuned. There will be some more jams. More jams. Confirmed. Yeah, right now I'm going to play you out with a Howlin' Wolf song, my favorite blues artist. So, yes. Bada boom, bada bing. See you later.
See ya.
Oh, I forgot that.
That happened way down in Natchez, Mississippi town. Did you ever hear?